Now on today's program, the Summer Blockbuster Extravaganza, well, we're getting into a family film here, and it's one that gave me a little bit of PTSD. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the fine program we have for you today. I mentioned at the top, we're talking about Rookie of the Year from the grand year of 1993. Or 90, yeah, 93.
Yeah.
Directed by famed actor and wet bandit Daniel Stern. I mentioned that this gave me PTSD because I'll tell you right now.
The war, right?
No,
when
well,
you were
no, I
there,
didn't.
You were down there in the Gulf a little bit?
No, I did not serve in the Gulf War, but you know what I did serve in? Walking down the school hallways, hearing people screaming things like, Rosenberger! And, did he say funky butt-loving? And all the fucking horrendous bullshit lines of dialogue that, like, caught on at the time of the film's home video release.
This movie's
picture's got a big butt.
Absolutely.
Cut
the funky cheese! Totally. What the one, though, that I didn't get was, what's he saying through this whole movie? He's like, fuck him in the kitchen or whatever.
What?
He's like, put it in the kitchen or some shit.
Well, I don't know. Put it in the kitchen, I think, is one of them.
We're going to fuck in the kitchen.
The High Luxemburger or whatever the fuck.
I have a bit of PTSD with this movie. I'll get this out of the way now.
Sure.
A couple years ago.
You were beat up in the parking lot of a repertory screening.
Now you can't go see fireworks because it reminds you of that brutal beating you got.
No, I bought this movie. We would buy like crappy DVDs from this $5 DVD store. I was like, oh, Rookie of the Year, that'll be fun. We watch it, you know, we're about 2 to 4 sheets to the wind. It's the end of the night. I'm like, what special features does this DVD have? And I click it on. And
Daniel
it's like,
Stern's sex tape.
No, but it was.
Wait, I've got to go buy this now.
It was all these different versions of the same trailers, like 3 theatrical trailers, 5 TV spots.
Nice.
And we watched them all, baby.
Oh, no. Wow.
You got to.
In the hopes that they would be slightly different?
Yes, and they all were slightly different. But the thing that they all had in common was it was always like, you know, Henry Rosenberger, blah, 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 or Rowan Gardner, blah, 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 blah. And it would always be like, da, 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 and then it would be the scene where he goes, I'm the new pitcher. And then it would go, goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
What the fuck does Jerry Lee Lewis have to do with that?
Because then we're having a lot of fun showing a lot of fun shots of people getting hit in the nuts. But every single one, so every time it's like, I'm the new pitcher. I'm the new pitcher. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Dude, Steve, are you a ghost right now? Because I would have committed suicide on that night.
Dude,
I think
if it was 8 trailers all told, I think if there was 9, I would have done it. I think I really would have done it.
Well, you really need 9 trailers to get the word out about this movie.
Well, I think the Jerry Lee Lewis connection is because he liked to date that same age group as the kid in this movie.
That makes perfect sense.
That's right.
You think he would have gone after Henry Rowan Gardner?
Maybe.
Or his little lady friend?
His lady friend, for sure.
Well, especially if they were cousins.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got to be related. That's the hook.
That's hotter. You know, it's all about taboo exploration.
Totally. So maybe Jerry Lee Lewis was related to Becky.
Yeah.
Yes.
And by the way, Daniel Stern, the only wet bandit to direct a major motion picture.
Joe Pesci never dipped his toe?
Never did.
Now I got behind the camera.
Oh, man.
Actually, he did. We had to burn it.
Nobody told him you couldn't actually kill women on film and release it theatrically.
What? Wait, what?
That's from my new fan novel, Joe Pesci Writes a Snuff Film.
Oh, okay, all right, that's fine.
So this movie, Steve, since you watched 9 trailers for it, if you could just distill for the people who were not a kid in the 90s subjected to this movie nonstop for a period of like 2 or 3 years?
Well, it's about the Chicago Cubs. They get a new pitcher, and goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire is a lot of fun.
Which doesn't appear in the film, right?
No, it does not.
Goodness! No, so it's this kid named Henry Roengartner.
Yeah.
Who's a little kid. Who's
played by Thomas Ian Nicholas.
Who is famous for American Pie movies.
He comes in a cup in American Pie, but also a tale my wife was telling me.
Okay.
He, I guess, there was some like brief scandal.
Whoa.
With a production company he has where they were like trying to get a movie made based off of some book.
Okay.
He and I guess like in a cup.
He came in all the cups at the meeting. No, it was
method, man. He's like Daniel Day-Lewis.
Get it? American Pie.
That, you know, good for him. Because, you know, Jason Biggs turned out to be the quote-unquote bigger star, but he's pie fucker forever. If Thomas Ian Nichols was the big star of that movie, like, hey, cup comer. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's a good
instead,
thing.
Instead, he gets who? So, your story?
No, so I'm just saying, so they wanted to, I forget what the exact detail was. It's something about, like, they wanted to drum up interest in the book to, like, raise the price of the adaptation rights or something like that.
Oh, so that's kind of illegal.
So they had their production company buy a fuck ton of copies of the book to, like, get it on the New York Times bestseller list.
Wait, you should be arrested for that, right?
That's like insider trading, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
I don't know what the actual deal is, but yeah, I totally, vaguely recall this happening like 2 or 3 years ago.
But
they probably said they printed that many books and then they bought, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
double
save money right there.
Sounds very illegal.
Yeah.
What would you expect from a guy that comes in a fucking red Solo cup?
Joe Pesci should direct a movie about this.
Any and all child star controversies are dwarfed by the lady from Smallville. Like, she is the queen. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, I can't wait for Joe Pesci to direct that movie.
The second you said, he got in a little bit of trouble, like, was he part of a sex cult? Did he brand women? He's fine. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what.
I think she'll recover from that.
Dude, when they inevitably do like the Entertainment Weekly like Smallville cast reunion shoot, she's probably not getting a phone call.
Nah.
All right, so Thomas Ian Nicholas.
He's a little kid that loves baseball. He wants to be in Little League, but he's not quite good. He breaks his arm, and in doing so, he actually unlocks some superpower that makes him like
He's an X-Man.
He turns into an X-Man for a while. And the Cub, and he becomes the new pitcher of the Chicago Cubs.
There it is.
And Gary Busey's in this movie.
And thus finds his father. I don't know.
You know what this movie starts off with that I cannot stand is marching band music.
Oh, right.
A lot of this score is like marching band heavy. Oof, no thank you.
I gotta say, it's a competently directed film.
Yeah,
it is.
I would say so too. Absolutely. I kind of like this movie. Probably because I grew up with it. But Daniel Stern's also a treat.
He is a total treat.
Is he a treat or is he a snack?
He's a snack and a treat and a this, pog.
Yeah, he's especially a
He's a sugar-free treat.
But it's also, I feel like I like this movie the way I like Bushwhacked still.
Bushwhacked's probably not that amazing.
Good.
Oh, man.
But you are missing out.
You've never seen Bushwhacked starring Daniel Stern and a bunch of kids?
I did see the other Daniel Stern classic, which is...
Homelon.
No, the basketball one.
What?
Oh, Celtic Pride.
Celtic Pride. Right. Or Celtic Pride, I think.
Technically Celtic Pride. Definitely a stay tuned. That movie's fucking insane.
And we'll probably end up doing Bushwhacked too, I think, eventually.
Yes, definitely. One of these days.
Oh, Bushwhacked also. Yeah. I was like, there's a Bushwhacked too.
If there was, I'm running out
like,
of here.
We have to stop recording this so I can go watch Bushwhacked too.
We can, you know, get a Kickstarter going for Bushwhacked too, right?
What the hell?
Definitely. If they could do fucking Super Troopers too, my lord. My lord in heaven.
Man, you know what? They didn't deserve to make that movie.
No, of course not.
I don't care how many basement dwellers gave you money on Kickstarter.
Including these in this room.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're not throwing stones here. We've all seen Super Troopers 145 times.
But if you've seen Super Troopers 145 times, you've seen Super Troopers 245 times.
Yeah,
it's all the same jokes.
Yes, very true, very true.
Repeating jokes, man. Just like if you made Rookie of the Year 2 and this guy's saying Rosenbagger again.
That guy rules. So,
so Great Balls of Fire.
John Candy. How about this? John Candy's in this movie. Kind of an unsung performance when everyone speaks about like the John Candy legacy.
Uh-huh.
This is left out. I think he's totally great in this movie. He's the best part by far.
He's having a lot of fun in this movie. He's very happy to be doing this.
It's a
very John Candy-esque. Like, he's just sarcastic enough, but then you're like, what did he say? And you get it the second time kind of a thing.
And it's kind of awesome because this just this basically no-named announcer. He does have a name.
Yeah.
But he's not, like, ever seen outside of the broadcast booth, mm-hmm. so he's not much of a character. But what you can glean from this guy, what from being, like, a beleaguered, tortured Chicago Cubs fan for so many years, it fits that candy mold of, like, a guy getting fucked by society.
Sure.
And really just trying to and just trying to put a smile on whatever he's doing, what? Even though he's getting shit on.
They got him paired with this little guy, and it really is, like, little Laurel and Hardy sketches with each one. It
kind of is. I thought this was the guy who played Steve on Full House.
It's not him.
Doesn't it kind of look like that guy, though?
Don't worry, that guy's doing just fine.
Is that right?
He does the voice of Aladdin. Or he has done.
Are you friends with him on Facebook too?
I am not.
He does the voice of Aladdin. Is there an Aladdin television show?
There was an Aladdin television show. There was like
also
two
sequels.
So he's done. Oh, so he's doing all Aladdin is him.
I think he's doing all the, like, I think every time there's a Kingdom Hearts, he's coming out and being
really?
Like, he gets to sit behind the thing and be like, whoa, Genie, let's move.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Hey, Genie, let's move. Come on, Genie.
Yeah, then you just got somebody doing a fucking horrendous Robin Williams impersonation.
Oh, and I think he's part of that Fuller House as well.
Oh, is he Full and Fuller House. Farting in that, too? Wow. Scott Weinger is that guy's name.
Wow.
Yeah, so I guess he is doing just fine then. All that fucking sweet Aladdin money.
Do not worry about that guy, whatever his name was.
Yeah, Steve Hale has returned for Fuller House.
God
That's
bless
correct.
Him.
Wow.
So, yeah,
do not worry about Fuller House.
Yeah.
Also, Steve is totally correct because as of 2015, the most recent Aladdin credit, Disney Infinity 3.0 video game.
Sure, sounds about right.
Yep, just fucking back that truck full of money up, buddy.
Is it just illegal to use the old clips? Is that how that works? Like, that guy's got to come into the studio to do it?
I don't know what the rules are around that, but that's an interesting question.
That's where having good lawyers comes in.
You want like 10% original content, so.
As Aladdin, you get 10%.
Oh man, Dan Hedaya in this movie. Eep.
So we start. Henry Roan Gartner is trying to. He's about to go play a little league game. And anyone in the, I mean, we're all a bunch of fat kids. Anyone here play a little league?
I did.
Okay,
I did until the coach asked me not to anymore.
No way.
True story.
No. Can I tell you why I stopped?
It actually devastated me.
Did he take you aside or?
No, he did it via phone call.
No way, dude. This baseball coach broke up with you over the phone?
Yes, he did. And then he said, "You look like Shrek," and hung up.
Do you think coaches now are just texting kids, "Hey, fatso, don't show up tomorrow"?
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. It's just a string of emojis. Oh, that's really weird.
What's your breakup story?
Oh, so I was I was actually like a mild to okay third baseman.
Okay.
And one day we're doing a batting drill, and this grown man who was the baseball coach was like lobbing the balls for the hitters.
Yeah.
And I was just, we were rotating like who would pick up the balls and put them back in the bucket. And so this kid hit like a super line drive, and I'm there like picking up these balls. This adult man wearing a baseball glove ducked out of the way of a fucking fourth grader's line drive, and it hit me right in the fucking square of my forehead.
Oh, wow.
And I got totally knocked unconscious. And then ever, you know, since then, I haven't tried it in a while, but like in the immediate aftermath of this, anytime a ball was hit or thrown at me, I fucking ducked out of the way.
Oh, sure.
And I couldn't play anymore.
Wow.
Yeah,
you could have made the big league.
I could have been, I was a little big league. That's a different kid baseball movie. I could have been rookie of the year.
Once I went up to bat once and I got, the baseball hit me right in the nuts.
Did you have a cup on?
No, and I
what?
Fell down. It was very. Basically, I basically passed out. Basically,
why weren't you wearing a cup?
I don't know.
Oh man, this fucking mom and pop rinky dink little league.
Yeah. Only black eye I've ever gotten was from a baseball.
Black eye?
Yeah.
Oh wow, really? Like, right in the face.
Whoop.
Well, wait. So Steve Sadek, did you play little league?
No, I did not. Oh no, I don't know where I was going with this. Oh no, but. Did when you were playing a little league or your friends were playing a little league, would you go to their games?
Absolutely not.
That I find incredibly weird.
Dude, these loser buddies in this movie, it kills me every time I watch it. Find something better to do. Like, find something better to do.
I had friends that I would hang out with all the time, all the live long day. We'd spend all the summer days together, but they'd go play Little League. I'd be like, all right, see you later, man. I'm going to play video games.
Yeah, I'm going to go play baseball on my Sega Genesis.
Well, that's the thing. This is clearly an alternate universe where there are no video games.
Oh, that's very true.
Yeah, well, there's clearly snack food
I was wondering what was going on. Speaking of the alternate universe thing, What was that?
I said there's clearly still snack food in this universe.
He's digging the fat kid. I know what he's doing. Yes. I know what he's doing
I'm
over
sorry.
There.
So,
I mean, he's a chubby boy.
I was seeing
the other one's fat too. They're both little fat.
Everyone's
sidekicks.
Fat.
It's America.
So I was thinking this is an alternate reality, or like a different time period.
Yeah,
because how Henry Rowan Gardner talks is like he's like a boy from the 1940s. Or
yeah,
something.
It's weird. He should have a newsboy cap and also possibly be like a cartoon cat because he's just like. The animation that this kid like expresses himself with is very Chester Cheetah.
He acts like he was saved by Dick Tracy for like a lot of this. Like the way he talks about baseball, like nobody talks about it. Like
is he definitely not the kid?
Big cheddar?
Yeah,
the Luxembourg.
See, I was watching this and I haven't seen it in like 20 years plus, and I was just like. Wait a second. Is this going to turn out to be like a George Burns body swap movie? Because there's no way this kid talks like that.
If Henry Rowan Gardner swapped bodies with his like ex-Cubs pitcher grandfather, now I get one more chance at the big time. Like, absolutely.
Give me the big cheese, the big stinky Luxembourg cheese.
All right, Henry, you can have the body back. You got VD.
What do you mean I can't smoke? On the pitches mound. What are you talking about?
Quick question about this kid, Thomas Ian Nichols. I think he's a better actor than
Nicholas.
Thomas Ian Nichols. What have I been saying?
You just said it again. He's not Mike Nichols.
Oh, Nicholas.
He's Thomas Ian Nichols. Continue.
Wait, he's Mike Nichols-esque?
He is Mike Nichols-esque, yes. His comedic timing.
Him and his mother have a Nichols and Mace thing going on.
Right.
I think he's a better actor than Macaulay Culkin because Macaulay Culkin always, at least in his kid roles, I mean, not that I'm watching him now, it was always like he learned his lines phonetically. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. I can totally see that.
This kid's got...
Macaulay Culkin didn't know what any word meant.
Yeah.
He was just sounding it out.
But Macaulay Culkin never had to say, pitcher's got a big butt. Yeah.
That's true.
But... How about this? Both of these child actors turned out to torment Daniel Stern in one way or another.
Yeah,
that's very true.
But my question is,
yes,
is he leaning into the squeaky voice, or did they just should have waited for this kid's balls to drop?
They like should have. Here's the thing, and this is a great observation, Steve. They should have filmed this movie, started filming it either 6 months before they did,
yes,
or about a year and a half after they did. Mm-hmm. One or the other, because this kid is in Squeak Town. He's got no control over this whatsoever.
I think it's his only instrument, really.
That's what I was curious
like,
about.
I really do like that the Pepsi scene.
Oh yeah,
like the
man.
Only like what would. Theoretically be funny about that is the fact that he has squeaky voice doing it.
Right, exactly, because he was actually going to go through puberty and his balls were going to drop, but then they prevented it with like a cage or something to keep him up there, like a little
cage?
Like a
Faraday cage?
It's a nut sack sack, and they prevented it in order to keep the squeak throughout
the entire thing.
A Faraday
cage for sexual maturity.
It was a barbaric time.
Sounds like it.
It's like, we're going to...
It does sound like something...
You know what? Your nuts aren't coming out, you're talking like an old man.
Honestly, it does sound like something Bill Clinton would have.
Oh, man! Here's a great line kind of around this part where it's him and the two pudgy buddies. They're running down the street to go to his baseball game, and they've got like... A baby carriage like filled with shit because the side thing in this movie is they're three friends who are just building a boat.
All right,
so we'll figure that out.
It looks very Good Son-esque. Yeah,
it's like they're painting a boat.
Mm-hmm. They found like some old man dead in a rowboat and they threw him in the lake and they were like, "We will just fix this up and it'll be ours."
Yeah, they're taking apart like the engine in certain scenes, and I'm like, "Where are you learning this shit, man?" It's not like the internet was really there yet for
not
them.
Not at all. It was 1992 when they're filming this movie.
They had the Anarchist Cookbook.
The Turner Diaries.
They're running past...
Gee, Henry, you should read this.
They're running past the mother, and she goes, what's in the baby carriage? To which one of the buddies goes, a baby. To which, like, this third party, this random dude on the street just goes, a baby? fucking total legitimate laugh right there.
And you know, they're just having fun. When we see Henry, he's not good at baseball at all. He misses.
He's embarrassingly bad at baseball.
This is exactly why I never played Little League. I didn't ever wanted to be this kid.
This is why all I got you cut. Had to do was not talk like you were fucking. You had a leather mitt in your old days doing it.
Yeah,
because here comes the cheddar. Here comes the rash.
I don't
here
get
it comes.
I like, really don't. Like, he got like some book as a birthday present that was like the first 3.5 years of baseball. And he read it cover to cover because he loves baseball.
Look out for this pitch. This might throw the sassafras off your head.
Look out for this next pitch. It might crash the stock market.
And then he got a booklet, How to Talk Like an Asshole.
His mom had
I think we got that book.
His mom took him aside. Like, all right, these following terms are racist. You have to cut these right. The rest of them are fine. But these you cannot say anymore.
What's a don't worry about it.
There's but also, all I did was call him a great big. No, yep. No, no, no. That book is being burned.
I threw out the rest of your grandfather's baseball stuff.
How about Julep? Too close. No.
And I'm taking away the Turner Diaries, young man.
Young man.
There's a weird thing around here with these buddies, too, that I just remembered because it fucking creeped me out so hard. The mom, like, says something, like, snappy. To which one of the buddies replies, your mom is so cool.
Yeah, we know
that. Did you ever say about. That, like, one of your friend's moms was cool?
If I found her attractive, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the translation.
Yeah, it means that you've rubbed your penis against the refrigerator too.
Here we go. Here we go. A little too autobiographical. But, Steve, did you actually, like, tell one of your friend's mothers, hey, Mrs. Whatever, you're a cool lady.
No. But like, I would be like, "Oh, your mom's so cool." You'd be like, "Shut up!" And because we both knew what that meant.
We used to tell
cool
a dude straight
hot.
Up,
yeah,
and hot meant cool.
We used to mess with this one dude in high school. We straight up told him his mom was sexually attractive.
Uh huh.
Oh, he didn't appreciate it.
Why would he?
No, he didn't. Any of the years that we were doing that joke.
So he's very bad at baseball. We cut to the next day at school. It's September, apparently. I guess. What?
No, it's like the end of the year.
This is what confuses
you. Play Little League in the spring.
Oh, right. Okay.
But this the timeline makes absolutely no sense.
No, the timeline makes. Well, we don't know what year it takes place in. That's fair. But
1897.
He breaks. I guess he breaks his arm. Do we get to that yet?
So that's what we're doing right now.
It's not in September though. It's in the summer or spring.
Right.
And doctor says it'll be healed around August.
Got it.
Which is then when
sense for like right when he's supposed to join the Cubs, like at the ass end of this season.
Right. That's why we're not going.
Another horrifying detail about this Little League game, I'm sorry, but I have to touch on it because it goes back to these buddies, which I find to be totally problematic characters.
Sure.
Now,
I never would go to somebody else's Little League
game. But it's not just attending.
His mom doesn't go to this Little League game.
It's not just attending, dude. They're working at this thing. Because these two sidekicks are like up on the fucking scoreboard, changing the numbers. Can you imagine?
No.
You're doing the scoreboard for your friend's baseball game he's playing.
It rhymes with Super Nintendo. That's what you're doing.
And I would like to think, they don't show it, it's out of sight, but there's an actual digital scoreboard. And they're just doing this because they have nothing fucking better to do.
Well, maybe Henry demands it because he wants to be old-timey.
Well,
oh, right.
But this is really like so. From here, we go to
the
cafeteria.
Yeah.
And this like Whit Stillman dialogue between them about like do a body. Yeah, the milk sure did her body good.
This is a problem that I mentioned this on earlier episodes.
Just look at her sipping that milk.
Oh, I love disco.
The weird male gaze for little girls in movies creeps me the fuck out.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know it's like through the character's point of view in air quotes. Like it's, kid. One of the kids calls this girl stacked. Stacked with what? She's fucking 12. Leave it alone, movie.
It's kind of insane. And this girl Becky is. This actress, Colombe something or other, she was the goalie in Mighty Ducks 2 and 3.
She was the goalie in Mighty Ducks 2 and 3.
She dethroned Goldberg in
she
Mighty Ducks 2.
Stacked in Rookie of the Year.
Oh, David, I can't believe you called me Stacked.
You know, when you're cast with an adjective.
But, like, it's
disgusting.
Because, like, oh, look at her drink that milk.
Milk's done that body good.
What the fuck is going on here?
And it's just, and again, like, and the other thing, too, is that there's one of the Pudgy kids has a friend who is, like, kind of coded as ugly girl.
Well,
which is also, like, so there's some big fucking, that cigar-chopping monster that's like, that girl's hot and that girl's ugly. They're fucking 12. Those words don't apply.
This is why I said what still is, because they, like, all vaguely have relationships.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
But, like, they're never defined. Like, the other, the short, chubby one, mm-hmm. Clark, is that, yeah. that's the one? And he has this, like,
there's
random...
George and Clark, yes.
George, Clark, and Henry. Those are old-time names,
yeah,
man.
And Clark has, like, this random girl, Edith?
Yeah.
Like, his girlfriend?
Edith? Is there a Mabel?
Eleanor?
Because the other two girls are Becky and Tiffany.
I should say that this is a remake of a movie that came out in the 40s. Something called the Rouge something or other.
It was something.
But just, I'm stopping that tweet.
The Rogue of the League.
But so he's being made fun of. They're like, hey, Henry, catch, you big jerk. And like,
wait, Steve, I'm sorry, but I actually went to IMDb to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
There is no connection made to whatever movie you're talking about.
Wikipedia told me it's a remake.
Weird, because all it has here is references to The Wizard of Oz.
Rougie's butt.
What the fuck did you just say to me? Rougie's bump. I think it's a Dodgers affiliated.
Okay. Rub my bump. I'm Rougie. Rub my bump.
Rougie's Bump is a 1954 American comedy film directed by Harold Young. Well, we don't need to get into that.
Plot line. Yeah.
So it's similar.
A young boy who loves baseball develops a strange bump on his arm. The bump has such an effort on his pitching arm that he soon finds himself playing
for
a major league baseball team.
It was then also remade as The Dark Backward.
Yeah. I would like it for Rookie of the Year, David Cronenberg-esque, like, bump, where his arm, like, healed
there
up.
There needs to be body horror, yeah. Because we get to, well, this is actually disturbing when he goes to the doctor. Mm. Are we done talking about Stacked?
Not about Stacked, but so he trips,
yeah.
Breaks his arm.
These girls in the cafeteria, I'm Robert Stacked.
That was so stupid. I'm sorry.
So he breaks his arm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And
he slips on a baseball.
There's a great, it was definitely Ralph Macchio stuntman. You can't tell me otherwise. Yeah. This, like, 30-year-old man is like, oh, I'm a little boy, and, like, goes down. Sorry, he breaks his arm.
Breaks his arm, goes to the doctor, is like, you're going to be out all summer.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Montage of mostly schoolwork.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? Summer school. I'm going to fix the plot because I've been to summer school. Obviously, you've heard me on this show.
I went there once, but I'm pretty sure it's like a full classroom during the day. I mean, it's not.
I was in full classrooms.
Wasn't it? Aren't they, like, limited size?
Well,
they're smaller, but
yeah,
not that.
I mean, I've been to summer school
for these summer school
classes. At least me as a country mouse, what we would do is everyone had to bus to a school that was perpendicular to all the other schools. So I went to a different school.
Got it.
And I had to be in a classroom full of tons of kids from, like, surrounding five high schools.
Ugh. That was me in high school as well. Yeah, I would have to go to a different high school for a summer school. But for grade school, I would go back to my grade
school.
Our
summer school was in our school.
It was in our school, and it was great because then it just meant there was, like, seven people to a class. It was like the movie Summer School.
I was going to say, it was Mark Harmon there.
Oh, I wish.
No,
Mark
nobody
Harmon,
that
Kirstie
cool.
Alley. My summer would have been directed by Carl Reiner.
No dog, no nothing.
So, speaking of the body horror angle, is he heals in such a way that the tendons are, like, into the bone
the
or something?
The tendons, like, fuse to a bone. Yeah, the
humerus. Yeah, that's some Dead Ringers shit.
And the doctor is just like, meh. Not like, oh my God.
Yeah, this
you're
is
not
like
going anywhere.
He says, funky butt loving.
Well, because he breaks his nose by accident.
Right.
Yeah, the arm retracts and punches him in the face.
And the doctor yells, funky butt loving, apparently.
Yeah.
Because I really only heard it when the other kid, the I don't know, Clark.
No, I'm gonna call this one. He says Funky
Clark
butt
or Jerome or someone. Yes. Mutters
George.
Did
George
he just
says
say,
it?
George says. Did he just
Buzzy.
Say Funky butt
Ezekiel?
Loving? Yes. Exactly.
And it's crazy because it's just such a throwaway thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That line became a sensation.
I think it's in one of those nine trailers.
It absolutely so, was.
Let me ask you guys a question around the horn.
Okay. Sure.
Because he's got this arm now that goes fucking fast. You know, crazy. You can't control it. Did he rip his dick off at any point?
Yeah.
No, he at least would, right?
Oh, if he's trying
to
pleasure
practice.
Himself?
He's 11 and some odd. Yeah, you never know.
So maybe he's...
Some people come to that late.
Maybe he ripped it off, and that's why
well,
he doesn't...
he doesn't develop properly.
Right. He's a... What do they call that? When
eunuch.
Yes,
eunuch.
Yes. He's like Lord Varys.
But he might still be rubbing it against things.
What is with you and the rubbing against stuff?
How many kitchen doors have you taken down?
That was not a phase that I had.
Fridge doors.
Another thing in this montage of him like doing schoolwork while his arm heals or whatever is him watching his mom make out with Bruce Altman. Good Lord, this character's a scumbag.
Well, the weird thing, so like his mom, she's a single mother. Mm-hmm. We allowed that in the 90s. We were discovering that in the 90s.
Disney allowed it, or in this case, Fox. Allowed it so long as by the end she was paired up with something.
Well, and they also were very gracious. They allowed these shirts.
What shirts?
That Bruce Altman.
Oh boy,
they're
these
very
are great.
Colorful. They're it's like a Steven Sadak going to a Wee movie show.
Nailed him
in a good way.
Yeah, sure.
It's fun.
It's kind of also like he was a character in Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
Because he's like a sleazy rich guy.
But like, you know, he comes in the first scene. Yeah, he's got a sleazy little sports car. He comes in and the mom is making the world's worst spaghetti. She's like, all right, I'll be home by 9 or whatever.
It looks disgusting, this fucking food.
This guy is kissing her neck in front of that kid.
Uh-huh.
Big time.
You got to lay down the territory, right?
I guess so. So his arm does heal. Now he has a super arm, which is, again, like, I want to see the mechanic. Like, pull that sleeve up. What does this thing look like?
Here's my question.
Does he have like a quado in there? Like
definitely.
Maybe it's like, oh yeah, he can pitch really fast, but he's got a little baby head on there.
Like, you know how James Woods' arm is at the end of Videodrome? But
yeah.
Imagine the hand's fine.
Yeah.
Henry, you have to win the World Series for the Cubs or there'll be no air.
Start the reactor, Henry.
is funky butt loving supposed to translate to fucking ass fucking?
Yeah, something or it's fucking whatever.
Yeah,
funky butt loving. I mean, it sounds fun.
It does. It sounds like a great time.
Right?
I mean, this is kind of a quote unquote crass kids movie. It's on the crasser side.
Well,
of kids.
There's definitely a we're. Doing a hard cut before the mom says motherfucker at one
oh,
point,
yeah, totally.
Kind of a thing. So we're introduced at this point. The mother's like, hey, by the way, so the kid gets the cast off.
Yeah.
And she's like, here's your gift for getting your cast off and punching that doctor in the face. Tickets to the Cubs game. And this is where we're introduced to Chet Stedman,
uh-huh.
a.k.a. The Rocket, played by the legendary Gary Busey, who's quite tame in this film.
I appreciate it. It's a regular Gary Busey performance. I've never seen such a thing.
Not since Buddy Holly story.
It's really kind of weird because I'm expecting him to freak out at any second. He doesn't do it.
I mean, he's just kind of sad. He's like, I'm an old baseball player. I ain't the Rocket no more.
No, and that's the thing, dude. He's seen a Kevin Costner movie or two. He
yeah.
knows how to do this.
This is him doing Nulty, I feel.
Yeah.
So much so that for a number of years, I misremembered Gary Busey in this movie as Nick Nulty.
He's wearing a fake mustache, by the way.
Is that fake?
It's fake.
It's a fake mustache.
It is. It's stolen stash, dude.
And I got, you know, if we're all having fun here, I think he looks a little bit like Eric Sisko with that mustache.
I wish. When I saw this as a kid, because my parents are from Chicago, so we grew up as Cubs people, and I'm seeing this visage.
Uh-huh.
Visage?
Visage. Visage. Yeah.
I was like, oh, boy.
So did you see this in theaters like 5 times?
I saw this a shit ton. I don't think I saw it in theaters.
I don't
but
think
I, saw
I did
a shit
either.
Ton.
We had it on tape.
I think I did.
I didn't see it.
I think I saw it in theaters.
Really?
The
yeah.
Little fat kid summer.
Was that before or after you rubbed your dick on the refrigerator?
That would have been after. Or
what
maybe
a
right around the
filthy
same time.
Little piss pig you are, Chris Cavan.
Oh no!
Oh, we all were. It's
you
fine.
Knew. By the
I
way,
I never fucked a refrigerator.
You knew when you downloaded We Hate Movies episode on Rookie of the Year, it was going to get gross, and it was going to get gross fast.
Dude, word on the street is when we talk about family films in particular is where it gets really disgusting. See our Care Bears 2 episode.
Yeah, so if you are underage, please
continue
stop
to listen.
Stop the podcast. We already got their download. We don't need it. We don't need a lawsuit.
And rub your dick against the refrigerator.
No. Wait. With parental approval.
Yes.
Ask your parents.
So he goes and the Cubs are bad because the Cubs were bad for a long, long time, and obviously they don't the curse and all that stuff. But they're so bad that they're borrowing a lot from the beginning of Major League here. Where, there's no one in the stands.
I feel is not correct, because Chicago is a city of pride. Yeah. Those fuckers turned out for those games, no matter how terrible.
But it was also, a tourist attraction. Exactly. You would go to Wrigley Field.
Classic baseball stadium.
Oh, drink all day? Yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
That is a tradition.
I've never been to Wrigley, actually.
Oh, it's nice. It's
very nice.
So they're at this
game.
They
could update their bathrooms. I'll say that much.
No, tradition.
Up way, way up above the stands, Eddie Bracken is playing the owner.
The dude,
Two Turtle Doves from fucking Home Alone 2. Another Daniel Stern connection. Holy shit.
But also great comedic actor from Preston Sturges movies.
Home Alone 2.
Chris Cabin. Two Turtle Doves.
he hooked his buddies up. Daniel Stern, he got the gang back together.
Vacation,
right? Vacation. He owns the park?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
There's another Home Alone connection here, or another... Oh, no, I was thinking of... So
Daniel Stern, please.
Daniel Stern, do you think... because maybe it's a... Because John Hurd is in Home Alone, because they're Chud brothers together. Like, do you think...
Yeah.
Who got cast first, and who got the other guy on there?
I don't know. Here's the thing. I remember Daniel Stern wrote a very sweet note when John Hurd passed away.
Got it. Chud buddies.
And he did mention Chud.
Of course.
But he mentioned that they never had any scenes together in Home Alone. And I think he does say something like he didn't even know he was in the movie until it came out.
Oh, wow.
It was just God's will. Fate.
The Chud God, dude. That's what I pray to.
That's the only real one.
All hail
God.
The Chud God, dude.
Exactly.
Hey, John. I love that movie so much, but hey, John, your house is all alone. I'm going to break into it. And he's just sweating. He's so disgusting in that movie.
It's
Daniel
awesome.
Stern.
In fucking Chud you're talking about.
Yes.
Can I tell you a quick Chud anecdote?
Please.
So Chud, it's one of my all-time
favorite... Chanecdote, maybe?
Oh, a Chudecdote?
Chudecdote is the word.
I'm a sucker for that movie because it's on location, disgusting 1980s New York City.
Sure.
And when I was serving jury duty recently, the courthouse was in
An
Tribeca.
Actual Chud came out.
Dude, the Chud was on trial. I couldn't even believe it. We gave him the death penalty. No, it was by some Chud location. So we would break for lunch, and I would just walk out to find
a
restaurant.
Walking Chud tour.
Dude, I was doing the Chud tour, man. I wanted to walk up to Soho to see John Hurd's pad.
Wait a second. We need a little extra income over here. We ate movies. Maybe we should do a Chud tour.
I would fucking do it in a heartbeat. Find the location where the diner where John Goodman's murdered.
But you got to wear a sleeveless sweatshirt and sweat through it.
Oh, be the Daniel Stern preacher character? Yeah, I can sweat.
I think Andrew's way ahead of you there.
So,
you might say I'm getting into the role right now.
Somebody hits a home run. Rone Gartner's got good seats, so he picks it up and has to throw it back because that's a tradition in Chicago.
It's a baseball thing.
Oh, I don't know.
If the out of town team hits the home run, fucking throw that shit back.
Got it.
That's a move.
Spit and cuss as well.
Yeah, dude, you find a refrigerator, you fuck it, and then you throw that baseball back.
I've never heard of this thing, and it grosses me out
to
be in the same room.
Okay, so is it a traditional door, or is it one of those doors that has the ice maker? Are you are you making ice?
Well, if you're Henry Rone Gartner,
I'm not that tall.
Ew. No.
I'm picking Akeem Olajuwon fucking a refrigerator.
What?
He's tall enough.
Leave the dream out of this, all right?
He was the first person that came to my mind that would be tall enough.
Sure. That's fair. He winds up fucking a refrigerator. No, he winds up throwing it. And everyone's like, whoa, this kid really... Because he throws it all the way to the catcher
right.
in super fast motion. And Dan Hedaya is in the
share. Sorry.
You want to see a real horror show? Come to my garage. Hey, Chaz Palminteri, I'm in the Usual Suspects.
He's hey, you like, great.
Do you like my bulletin board of red herrings?
Gary Busey. I played Nixon.
Gary Busey, are you a marriage counselor?
So he is going. He's like the number two behind the Turtle Doves guy, which I know is upsetting Chris. Behind the Turtle Doves guy,
he's like the shitty nephew kind of a thing.
He's going to run the team next year, right. And we're having an attendance problem. This kid throws. He's like, get me that arm,
right? Because it's like they need to sell out every single game for the rest of the season, or they're going to go under. They're teetering, I guess, on the.
They'll have to like forfeit the franchise.
The Tampa Bay Cubs, like, what are we talking about? This
I don't
never
understand.
Happened.
No,
it's
I mean,
one of those
it's
weird
just
things.
The bank repossesses. Yeah,
it's a weird thing where, like, again, like Chicago is such a proud city.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That like some Chicagoan millionaire,
Bill
would
Murray,
be,
would buy it.
Exactly. Someone would be like, "Wait, what's happening? Oh, fuck that two Turtle Doves ass." Asshole. I'll buy that team, whatever. They wouldn't move it out of Chicago.
No. I mean, also, like, you know, don't have fucking Gary Busey as your star pitcher, for Christ's sakes.
Well, this is 93. I mean, he's kind of playing, like, the Nolan Ryan, like, twilight of his career kind of character. And he sort of even looks like Nolan Ryan a little bit in this movie.
Because he's throwing, like, oh, my arm.
Oh, fuck my arm again. Oh, felt like a chud bit it.
Oh, my God, my arm fell off of a motorcycle.
Oh, no.
My arm was just driving. Separate from his body, his arm left.
Oh, his arm was just taken out for a test drive.
It's unrelated to what actually happened.
Oh, okay.
A bizarre, aside from all the timeline problems, a bizarre thread in this movie is Dan Hedaya and Bruce Altman are buddies somehow, and like the next day... Bruce Altman's like, yep, that's it, Dan Hedaya. I know who you're looking for, and it's the kid of the wife of the lady that I'm with right now.
Yeah, I don't get what's going on here. So we are supposed to intimate that Bruce Altman knows Dan Hedaya? Bruce? I think he just calls and he's like, by the way, that guy you threw the baseball yesterday.
Somehow it's intimated because we cut to Henry doing it in the backyard, the trick, and... Mm-hmm. Bruce Altman and Amy Morton, his mother, see it for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and like, it's fucking the chief fat guy, George. George is one's like, boy, you could throw for the Cubs.
Oh yeah, that's
and
yeah.
then Bruce Altman,
goodness
gets,
gracious, great balls of fire,
and cue that, and then Bruce Altman just like it cut to him on the phone with Dan Hedaya.
Oh yeah,
making the appointment, so you don't know who really did what.
That's true. See.
Okay, so
that's interesting.
They sign him to a contract? Question mark. Like, I need to know a little bit of the details in the contract. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how much does he make?
I need to know how much this kid's making.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Like, well, Bruce Altman is fucking pulling the legal scam of the century. Like, how he got around fucking... Because the mother knows nothing about anything.
Oh, right.
She, like, every time she's surprised that something happened.
Well, she's in the dark on this whole scheme,
so
man.
So somehow...
Absolutely.
This 12-year-old was bought by Bruce Altman somehow. I don't get it. Like, it makes no sense.
The finances, I need to know, because at some point he comes late for practice. He's like, that's got to be $500, Rowan Gartner. And he's like, that's 60 months allowance. Blink, blink, blink. But, like, that's fine. But, like, you have to know that they go to, hey, Henry, you know you're making $1.4 million this year?
Right. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm getting paid to do this?
Yeah.
Like, he has no idea, right? Mm-hmm. Bruce Altman's giving them fucking, you know. Also, what kind of
the child labor laws situation? Like, I don't, you know, a baseball game could go long.
Here's the thing, though. That's what I think is sort of particularly interesting about this. For a lot of the season, at least, he's only the closer.
Yeah.
So he comes in like the last inning
he's
or Kira two.
He's Sedgwick.
That's right. That's right, dude. He's finishing baseball games and wrapping up old cases.
But the weird...
Judge has got a big butt. Judge has got a big butt.
Dude, that's how she won all those cases. Absolutely.
No, but the weird thing... I agree. And, like, I just need to know, like... Because he goes to the thing. He goes to the Cubs. He has some sort of Mickey Mouse contract. And... He goes into the locker room with all these grown men. Like, no.
Up. There's a huge dick. There's a dick. There's another dick. And they tell you he's seeing huge dicks all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, they don't exactly show it. They show a bunch of adult men in their underwear, and it's intimidating. And he's like, he feels inadequate with his own penis.
Of course, because there's only one thought a kid is having in that situation is, look at all these dicks that are bigger than mine.
Well, just,
absolutely.
Right. But also, so there's bathroom stalls.
There's a, there's a little dick musical cue. Did anyone else get it? It's like a piccolo.
Yes,
He looks at his underwear and goes,
and then he has to wait for all these big hunky dicks to put their pants on and go outside. And then eventually he does make his way to the field.
One of those hunky dicks, by the way, is Neil Flynn.
Chicago staple.
The best.
Exactly.
But the thing is...
I'm sorry to harp on it because there's a press conference.
This press conference is a failure.
Where they announce he's going to come to the team.
Sure.
And it's there that she is... The mother, Amy Morton, is told that... Fucking Bruce Altman's his manager.
Yeah.
For the first time.
She's got to stand up right here and be like, what is going on? We've been dating for three weeks.
No, it would be illegal. He's 12 years old.
Three weeks is what Bruce Altman says, though.
Illegal.
She has to sign something. No, I'm sorry. She's in on all
shit. At the beginning of this movie.
She does randomly sign shit that he hands her, though. Yeah. So maybe that happened.
This is what I think, honestly, from what Eric just said and what happens at the beginning of this movie... I think we are led to believe that she is an inadequate parent.
Yeah.
Because we're told...
She's a good mother,
no,
damn it.
Fuck, no,
that's
dude.
That's the thing.
She wasn't even at those games, dude.
Shut up. Listen, I am in agreement with Chris Cabin right here because at the beginning of the movie, they're going out on a date and he's like, you're going out again? And she's like, it's our three-week anniversary.
Oh, all right.
And Bruce Altman rolls up with like a huge thing of jewels or whatever it is, right? So here's this situation. Your son... is now just running around with a guy that you've known for 21 days, less than a month, and this guy is fucking carrying this kid's career. You're not in it for anything, and you find out at a press conference you're going to, like, what the score is? I don't think so.
She might have just turned an eye again, you know, like oh, that's fine, because this guy's obviously well-to-do. He might know business a little bit better than me.
Oh, I see.
Well,
yeah. He tried to bankroll a bunch of Atlantic City casinos, and they failed.
I think they do, and Amy Morton's really good, so, like, I give it that they're trying to portray her as, like, a hardworking mother, single mother. And, like, but, like... this is like stupid. This would be what a stupid person would do.
I mean, like,
to allow what
and especially, like,
here.
Wouldn't it be the thing of like, oh my god, we're saved? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need to work if you're a baseball player or whatever.
That's true.
Like, any like, that stuff, but also, like, so he needs a handler. He needs because he's still going to school somehow. Like,
I think the doctor should weigh in on this too. Like, this is
Dr. Funky Butt Loving MD.
Yes, or another doctor, perhaps.
But,
you know,
there should be a guy that's like, "Hey, Henry, all right, all the adults are going to go into this locker room. You're going to go into this locker room, and here is your tutor, because now you're pretty much like a child actor." You know what I mean? Like,
you wouldn't be still going to school.
It makes no.
We're not addressing school whatsoever.
It makes no. Well, no, he goes to school. He's going to school.
Is he?
Yeah, he goes. At least one day he comes back. Like, everyone's like, "Hey, Henry, how's the Cubs treating you?"
Oh yes, but that's like, right. What? I don't think it lasts too long though. Listen, this kid's got to go out on the road. Man.
Yeah. Oh, so do you think he just went back to like shove his dick in everyone's face? Like, look at me.
Shove his dick in the fucking cafeteria refrigerator? Absolutely. Yeah.
As all young
that
boys
has the
are
best suction.
Really?
We meet Daniel Stern, who is kind of his handler, but he's just the pitching coach. You know what I mean? Like,
he's got other pitchers to coach as well.
And he's also an incompetent.
No, this is like beyond. This is Adam Sandler and the Water Boy.
Yes,
that's what's crazy. Daniel Stern is like doo-boo-doo-dabbing through this whole movie. And I'm like, what are you doing?
It needs to be a thing where, like, Turtle Dove Man tells... he's like, oh, he's my nephew. He means well. Yeah. He's just helping out. Don't pay him no mind. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Somebody needs to be. There is a child running around this arena with a bunch of grown ass men and
talking about cheese constantly.
Getting undressed with these dudes. Someone needs to fucking put a fucking wall between him and the rest of these people.
Yeah, it's like the fat child from A League of Their Own.
Yes. But he's playing. Orson or whatever that little fat kid's name was did not play.
Something no, darling. Sybil darling. Yeah. Fuck, I forgot.
I don't know.
So he has his debut, which makes no sense. and like they never teach him how to pitch. There's never like before his debut, they're like,
"Boy,
oh, we'll
it's
just...
natural. It's yeah. natural."
Yeah, why bother?
This is what's fucked up. Like,
it takes more
signed.
Than just hucking it across the
way.
Well,
that's the thing. And he comes in when this coach doesn't want him to.
is coach is pretty great. I like the coach.
Is the move rather? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the coach is trying to find this. Albert Hall playing Martinella.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the skipper here?
Been in everything.
Yeah, he's been a lot. Of stuff.
He's in fucking Apocalypse Now. He's in Malcolm X. Major Payne, I believe. Oh, yeah. He makes a brief appearance.
All the best.
But no, so like he gets a call from Dan Hedaya, and Dan Hedaya's like, "Yeah, put the kid in." And he's like, "No, this child is not ready at all to pitch in the major leagues. He barely knows how to play baseball."
Yeah.
And he's like, "No, you better just do it because Cher's going shopping again."
Well, because everyone shows up to see the kid.
It's a gimmick, yeah.
But there's never, you know what there needs to be? It's the Air Bud line, the Air Bud catch-all, which is nowhere in the rule book does it say a kid can play baseball.
Right.
They don't say that
you
in this movie.
You need to do that, yeah. That
you need to somehow to couch it. But just if a child can...
I like how Air Bud is more structurally sound.
It is. Air Bud is on firmer footing than this Rookie of the Year.
But it's ridiculous because like when there's a major signing in the MLB, right? Like. Mm-hmm. You get word that there's been a signing, and it's like, oh, cool, like he's moving to the Yankees or whatever the situation is, right? Then there is like a predetermined day when that person is going to start. Yeah. So like these people wouldn't just be rushing Wrigley to spy this kid.
Yeah.
Well, like they would say like, okay, like he's coming, he's making the move.
It's a little different when I think with a reliever though, because the relievers are just on a different schedule. You never know when which reliever you're going to put in what situation probably.
I guess that's true, but I don't even think the Cubs know whether or not he's going to be a starting pitcher or reliever anyway.
He's a baby! He's a child!
The guy is just like, no, he hasn't thrown a single pitch.
Yeah, I know this sounds weird, but wouldn't like child labor laws like come into
really great point? I remember when I worked at a country club, I had to go to fucking Atlantic Avenue and get my goddamn working papers. I don't think this kid get his working papers.
Oh shit, he's a Mary Sue.
He is exactly a Mary
Sue.
Yes,
he is.
Also, Eric, you working at a country club. That's I want to see that.
That's a movie. Now that's a movie.
You were a boob there, right?
Yeah, well, it was a total boob.
Like, the Flamingo Steve. Shit.
The Flamingo Steve. Yeah, it's him and Matt Dillon in this movie. One Magic Summer kind of a thing.
Nice.
No, I was high a lot.
Nothing beats Steve working at the bagel store, though.
Oh, I got fired immediately. I got fired in 3 weeks.
Because his boss slipped on dough and he laughed at him.
I did not. No, I was not rubbing my dick against anything.
Okay, so you were putting it in the dough.
No.
You were a dough fucker.
His boss fell over and he laughed at him and he got fired.
But that's funny.
Yeah, sure.
People falling over is funny, and that dude should have recognized that.
You should have told him, like, you could have made it.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, I laughed at him when he fell over. But, yeah, there was a lot of other stuff. I fucked that fridge.
No.
Yes, you did. It's fine.
So he comes in. It's against the Mets because we're kind of we're making a movie here because the Mets are going to come in at the end. By the way, I love that the
Mets are the powerhouse in this situation.
It's crazy that, well, this was probably written in 1986, but it's crazy that Major League Baseball agreed to this shit.
Yeah, Major League Baseball, like, all over. Everybody's
Major League
here.
Baseball agreed to a lot in the 90s, though, dude, because we had this.
Major Leagues, right.
We had, Major League, which is that. That's the Cleveland Indians. You had Little Big League, I believe it was the Minnesota Twins. That's where a child inherits a baseball franchise.
I did not see
it. And the big one, which is, I think this movie...
Scout?
This came out. Angels in the Outfield came after this movie. I would have guessed it came before.
Oh, right, of course. Yes, 94. The Los Angeles Angels.
Mud, I'm undead!
What's the Tom Selleck one?
Mr. Baseball.
And...
But that's more Japanese.
Oh, because he had to sell Japanese.
Yeah, he gets traded to a Japanese league. There's a great moment in that movie where they try to intentionally walk him because he's like a tall, big monster. And he steps over the plate and hits the ball anyway because he's an ignorant American.
Oh, great.
It's great.
And there was Bernie Mac's Mr. 3000.
That came in the 2000s.
Oops,
that was
disqualified.
So he's not doing very well. He does like a wild pitch. You know, John Candy's not too impressed.
John Candy is none too impressed, man. I don't think John Candy's character is impressed until we get to the division finals.
And I think, is this when the big Mets hitter starts making fun of him?
Where he's, oh, come on, little baby.
Yeah, I mean, like, I love the idea of a grown man taunting a child.
It happens a lot in this movie because way back, just to backtrack for 2 seconds, when he originally throws the ball to the catcher, like from outfield, there's a guy, like everyone in Wrigley Field is like so excited for this great moment to feature this like baseball miracle, except the last guy who threw the ball back that was a home run.
Right.
He's like, oh, what's that, you little fucking pussy? You think you're better than me? Like, he's just fucking berating this child.
Those union guys.
Yeah, I don't know what that's supposed to be.
What the fuck was that?
These tough guys.
I think he barely makes it through because, like, you know, a couple of, like, he gets the save, but he doesn't really do anything this time.
No, they get the outs, nothing to do with his pitching.
So they start to train the kid, and, like, the coach is like, hey, Gary Busey, you're a loser. You know, you don't got it no more. You should train this kid. And he's like, I don't train kids.
I don't train regular pitchers, and I certainly don't train kid pitchers.
I didn't train that orangutan that you brought in last week. I'm not going to train. I didn't train the golden retriever. I will not even train that chair that you brought in. That sentient car, I ain't trained. Christine didn't work out, did she? No. Christine ain't working out.
You keep calling him that, but that's clearly Scott Eastwood.
But I also kind of want, like, he becomes a little protective of Henry, but I want, like, one Gary Busey freak out. Like, somebody's like, hey, little kid, you blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, I will cut you open and fuck your stomach if you ever talk to that kid again.
I will rip your fucking throat out and feed it to my dog that I don't even have yet, which means I will take your fucking ripped out throat down to the nearest fucking adoption center I can find, adopt a dog, fall in love with it, take it back to my house, and then feed it your fucking throat, you little turd.
That's what I want. I want one of those.
Yes, yes.
We just need it because it's Gary Busey. Come on.
Well, because there's no, like, I'm recovering from alcohol abuse or like anything like
they
that.
Make,
like, there
make
should
him
be
a Pete Rose type.
Yeah. Oh, wait, we're playing Cleveland. I guess I can't go on that trip.
I've been betting against the Cubs. I'm trying to sink the team.
Like, we're told at one point that he has had what we can glean is like Tommy John surgery.
Sure.
Because we're talking about his arm and this, that, and the other thing.
I got that Tommy Jarvis.
Yeah, I hurt my arm trying to kill Jason Voorhees. He got me in the arm good with a machete.
So that's Tommy Jarvis surgery?
Exactly. Yes. When you battle Jason Voorhees and he hurts your arm, you get Tommy Jarvis surgery.
That motherfucker Voorhees, he took my stash.
He's like, it's like, what you call it, Daniel Stern's kind of coaching him, but really Gary Busey is. This is when he starts to get good, and he's like, striking all these people out, and everyone's like, wow, what a great thing. The math here doesn't make sense. We're told the Cubs went two games back-to-back because of this kid. And John Candy's like, wow, that makes our longest streak of the year two. But then they're in the division at
that's
the end of it.
True.
This is what doesn't make
and it's
any
also,
sense.
And it's been a month. It's a month. They can only
would,
win
this
like.
This would be like September at earliest.
I don't get
tops,
what's going on.
We're
here.
Talking, they've won, what, 15 to 20 games?
Maybe there was a contract dispute and it was a truncated year.
Oh, like, really?
You know, we're playing like 60 games this year.
Yeah, okay.
I think they really needed to dial that back, though. Like, make whatever month that his cast can come off, not fucking August.
Exactly. Yeah. It should be like June.
Or like May.
Yeah.
Or yeah, June is good. It's like we're 3 months into the season. We're shit in the bed.
It's not even the All-Star break. This is September. It's the end of the season.
It's insane.
And they've only won two games back-to-back. There's no way they could be what, over 60 wins?
I would love to know what the Cubs' like actual record is at the moment this kid starts in fucking late August or whatever it is. So then we go on the road. There's a lot of shit here.
This kid is just...
I hope you like cocaine.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing a lot of blow and fucking a lot of prostitutes.
No, you just sniff it out of my mustache, all right? Okay, get in there. You're my little vacuum
cleaner.
Hey,
Rook, it's initiation time. You got to do all these shots. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this happens to child actors all the time. Like, that they need people with them. This kid is just on the bus.
And because they are told...
Hey, Henry, how many condoms do you think you can swallow?
Holy fuck.
We're going out with the Pussy Posse tonight. Strap in.
We're playing the Dodgers. That means we're going out with Leo and the Pussy Posse. Get ready to have some fun.
Oh, you got to talk to Toby McGuire. I can't stand that dude.
If you're good, I'll get you some French fries at Don's Plum, all right?
Oh, fuck, man. From Entourage, that guy sucks a dog's dick. I don't want to talk to him at all.
He ain't even in Entourage yet. I just can't remember his name.
But yeah, like, no.
I'm from the future.
He's going to go on to direct the film Gaudy.
He would wind up like Corey Feldman. Corey Feldman was always like drinking at all hours because no one absolutely fucking watched that kid. You need someone on this kid.
And that's what I would love. Here's the thing. You are not Rookie of the Year bound in the cold, money-grubbing hands of Disney. No, sir. This is a 20th Century Fox film.
Certainly.
I can see the dark side of Rookie of the Year happening totally, and it's like this, exactly like we've been talking about. He's doing coke with Gary Busey. We got to go out to the bar and get some shots. Totally unsupervised.
What you should do, you get the supervisor to be Bruce Altman, and it doubles down on how shitty he is.
Yes, right. Just, that's the move. Because
he wants coke and hookers.
Come on, Hank, you want to be a man?
Yeah.
That's right. He's like, hey, Mary... Don't worry about it, Mary. I'll take your son out on the road. It's going to be great. I'll watch him every second.
And then in the end, instead of her just punching him and their relationship ending, she shoots him dead.
Yeah.
And they rule it a justified homicide.
Yeah. Dude, how about this? Rookie of the Year directed by Abel Ferrara.
Wow. Yes, that's the mind we need.
I'm totally down.
I'm in for it.
Keep everything the same. But Abel Ferrara.
Hello, I'm the new pitcher.
I am going to buy the team. I am Gerard Depardieu.
It's just Lawrence Fishburne laughing in the rain.
Oh, yes.
One of his friends has to be played by Willem Dafoe now, though.
Totally. Man, that Abel Ferrara Pasolini movie with Willem Dafoe. Fucking terrible.
Hey, Henry, you see Becky? She's pretty stacked. Oh, wow. Hey, Becky, you had a productive summer.
Milk done that, buddy. Ew. Very good.
Willem Dafoe would knock that out of the park, baseball reference.
What a tiny kid's best friend. Oh. Yeah,
Okay, no, sorry, Steve.
Hi, Edith.
No, he's not playing the friends of the kid. He's playing like the mom's boyfriend.
Oh, okay, even better.
Even better, indeed.
Same look as Wild at Heart.
But yeah, he winds up...
Those weird little teeth.
Daniel Stern like freaks out on this plane or some shit.
So his gag is like he's really cheap and like he's like, oh, you know that this muffin's gonna be breakfast for tomorrow, blah blah blah.
Which is garbage, man. You're in the major leagues. You're doing like you're just getting fine. Everything handed to you. Stop that. We're on the plane. This is a fucking big bunch of bullshit though. Gary Busey, seasoned baseball legend, right? And he's traveled to every city in America, kind of a thing. He's eaten all over the country. And he's on this fucking dirt-ass plane. And he's like, hey, kid, come over here. Yeah, I'm eating the best Salisbury steak I've ever had in my life. And you're like, nah.
On a plane?
Yeah, what are you talking about? Stop that. No way, Gary Busey. No. You've eaten at every steakhouse from New York to Los Angeles.
Maybe he's like, I'm going to fuck with him.
Well, also, Salisbury steak. Holy shit, man.
Totally.
That's a hamburger with gravy on it.
Guys, this was written by an old man in the 1930s.
Got it. You're right.
It has to be.
I'm on some Vicodin right now. This tastes delicious.
I just need something to soak it up, man. By the way, Hank, go get us some road. Get us some plain sodas. Hey, who's on beer? Hank's on the beer. Hank's got the beer.
Right, Hank? Just get me some Sutter Home. That's all I need right now.
These airline bottles will fit in your little pocket.
It's kind of fucked up because in this moment, this kid is like, hey, so what? Or he goes, so to backtrack for 2 seconds, Gary Busey, he has asked Gary Busey for an autographed baseball. Please sign it, the Rocket, which is his nickname. Yeah. And he's like, I don't do autographs. Yeah. But then after like his first big performance, he signs a Rocket.
Yes.
Signature on a baseball, and he gives it to the kid. On the plane, he's like, by the way, mister, thanks for signing my baseball. And he's like, yeah, do me a fucking favor. Don't call me Rocket anymore. To which this kid responds, yeah, you have been pitching pretty shittily. And at this moment, Gary Busey's got to knock this kid's teeth out.
Yeah.
A boy's life fight on the plane?
He knocks his teeth out and then adds it to his own.
His
teeth keep growing.
So here's my thing.
Yeah.
It's a live action Pokemon movie, which we've always wanted.
Yep.
Always.
Of course.
And it's Gary Busey as Team Rocket. It's him as the guy and the girl.
Wait, the bad guy.
I figure he was just made to be Charmander.
Who would be Team Rocket? That's an interesting him as a man and a woman. That would be an interesting dynamic.
Know. Hey, Meowth, let's go. Me and I do the voice of the cat too.
I'm a real jack of all trades in this live action Pokemon movie. I play every character.
Abel Ferreira's Pokemon. I'm a Charmander.
Yeah, look at all these Pokemon. Am I right?
I gotta go fight Jigglypuff. Look out, Jigglypuff.
Oh, you don't want Jigglypuff walking? Send him this way.
David Caruso is Pikachu. That's right, motherfucker. I'm Pikachu. Pikachu.
I'm sliding all these Pokemon down my throat like oysters. Defokemon.
Oh, God. Ow, I've been puffed.
Oh, anyways.
That would be just as much of a beloved child classic as this movie.
I think so, too. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that definitely.
We start to do the next movement of the movie is he's getting a little too big for his britches, right?
What a shock, because this kid sucks.
I mean, but also, like, this is an amazing situation. His friends are like, what? You're working on the boat, you jerk.
Dude, here's the thing, fat kid. George.
Yeah.
If that is your real name. Your kid, your friend here, he is coming at the ass end of a 162-game baseball season.
Yeah.
Cut him some slack on your fucking boat that you killed a hobo for.
I'm on Team Henry on this one. Fuck
absolutely.
It. Fuck it, George is a piece of shit for even giving him guff for fucking... Also, he is in the center of one of the greatest fucking swindles of all time.
Exactly.
Bruce Altman is about to trade him to the Yankees.
Well, yes. He's being sold to the Yankees, right, which is a very weird thing.
Well, is it? I mean, that's how the Yankees operate, right? Anyone that's good, we buy him and we ruin him and we spit him out.
Oh, you're just jealous.
Well, not anymore.
But yes, he's... So he's getting really big. We do have to talk about the Diet Pepsi commercial, which is very weird.
Oh, my God. He's, like, having sex. He's, like, fucking the fridge in this scene.
There is a lady in this movie that starts undressing him in this scene.
Yes.
I was pretty uncomfortable.
It's a parody of a Ray Charles commercial.
Abel Ferreira's Diet Pepsi.
You know when it's right. You know when you feel it, baby. Hey, Abel, how about this? What if I'm holding this Pepsi can and I just take my fucking thing out? Defoe.
That does sound like a Pepsi challenge. Pepsi you challenging.
Know, I did learn how to play the piano with it in the theater. Hey, do you want Pepsi so you could be like Defoe? Or do you want Coke like Harvey Keitel? And he's like naked. See if you can taste the difference.
But we do actually. Ray Charles got paid for this movie, right? Because you do hear his voice.
His voice is there. So there was some sort of. Actually, you know what? No, I'm sure somebody ripped poor Ray Charles off.
Oh, yeah. They're like, yeah.
Well, wouldn't Pepsi own that clip? And if that was the popular clip.
Yeah, I don't know, Chris Cabin.
So he's behind a piano. He's dressed in a tuxedo. He's doing a Ray Charles thing.
Pretending he's blind. It's unbelievable.
And these women, these like sexy ladies, are unbuttoning his shirt while he's singing.
Yes. Dude, they're taking his fucking little bow tie off.
And the mom's just there, and she's cool with it. You know,
like, the only thing she's peeved about is that this is, quote unquote, taking forever.
And it's in that moment that Bruce Altman, in the loudest shirt since the Paula Abdul video.
You mean what the cat was wearing?
Yes. The cat in general.
That's, you know, often when I go out, I'll take a peep in the mirror really quickly and I'm like, am I louder than that cartoon cat? No. Good.
Yes.
And then I leave the apartment.
Stay away from that. And he just fucking says, hey, sign this. It's his contract.
Yeah.
And this is the fucking thing that's getting him over to the Yankees.
She signs it, no problem. By the way,
doesn't even look at it.
director of the commercial comes to Henry and says, "I need you to be sexier." Says that to a baby man.
Yeah, yeah.
And
dude,
to which he replies, "What time is this over?"
Yeah, dude.
He's terrified for his life.
Exactly. What, I need an adult. I need either Bruce Altman or my mother to stop this from happening.
Well, we got to finish this one sequence, and then we got to shoot the other side promo, and Willem Dafoe's going to get here.
No!
Funky butt lover.
What am I? That's what they call me, funky butt lover. Bitch's got a big butt. Oh, does he ever?
But the weird thing is Dan Hedaya, for some reason, this kid's the biggest thing that happened to the Cubs ever.
Yes.
And Dan Hedaya is into selling the kid because he's going to make money.
The finger thing means the money, dude. $25 million.
And,
as a manager, you'll get 10%.
That's like, $2.5 million,
which is fine, but that as the Cubs, you make, I mean, like, maybe cash considerations, but that's under your fucking salary cap anyway. I guess it's not money you're gonna make.
I don't know.
It doesn't
make
any sense, though. Like, what is the deal with his original contract with the Chicago Cubs?
What, great question.
That is a good question.
Because he's playing essentially for like 2.5 months.
Yes. Who knows? Because it's part of this scheme that we are not seeing that Altman is in the middle of.
Do you think he's more crooked, speaking of, than Macaulay Culkin's dad? Because that dude fucking, guy was
John Culkin or whatever that dude's name was. That guy was a fucking scumbag.
He had like
scumbag.
An actor farm, right? He was raising them just for that? Mm-hmm.
That's why they kept fucking.
Yeah. Whatever happened to Rory and Culkin?
Rory is actually
well,
on a
Culkin
TV
is the family name.
Wait, well, there was another Kieran.
Rory and Kieran.
Igby
they both still
on a Rory
Igby.
Is
Igby.
Still
yeah. Igby. I'm talking about Igby.
Igby is
Igby
on that
is
new
on
show.
Succession.
Yes, which I know people
what
like.
Is, what
the
that?
Shit is that?
That's Adam McKay's show on HBO.
Why? Oh, that was the Please God We Need Something to Rival Billions
yeah,
show?
Yeah, that
yeah
thing,
that's
yeah.
what that was.
What is not good, as it turns out.
But yeah, and Kieran, Rory Culkin's all over the place, too.
Yeah, they're both. They're
still
acting.
He was in
that. I think isn't the other one in Columbus? He's the kid in the beginning of Columbus that she works with.
Yes, absolutely.
Columbus.
Columbus, great movie with John Cho. One of the best movies of last year. Yeah. Totally unsung.
He's in that.
Never even heard of it.
That cult show. With
yes,
the
he
path?
Was no. The
American Horror,
the Tim Riggins, David Koresh show.
Oh,
Waco?
Waco. Just called Waco.
The thing that what it's about. Yeah.
I know. I just
I also totally brain farted. But yeah, they're still around. They totally act. Yeah, I think they're both totally good. And Macaulay Culkin, as far as his Twitter account tells me, seems like a pretty grounded enough
Remember
guy.
They were trying to push the girl? When Culkin was like, "Hey, man, I can get you a girl."
Oh, you want a girl, Culkin? I got one of those. I'm John Culkin. I'm a fucking huge scumbag.
Because he had, that was in The Good Son. That was like the daughter. Oh, really? Like,
that's
hey,
right.
Come on. So he kind of gets sold to the Yankees, and there's this weird, like, again, this boy's life scene where it's like Bruce Altman. Oh, I'm sorry. There's a scene that takes up 5 minutes where they're on the boat. They finally get on the boat.
Oh, totally.
And they pick up the babes. They have more snacks than a fucking Super Bowl party for fucking Chris Farley's house,
wait,
man.
Are you talking about hot dudes? Or
no, we're talking about snack food.
Oh, okay.
And there's a lot of Tostitos products on this boat already overpacked.
There's Doritos. There's fucking Cheetos. There's everything.
It's and again, a Whit Stillman movie again. They're having a lunch on the lake with the girls.
Yes. You know, Chris,
it's like a metropolitan
it's the same
scene.
Thing.
I might get you arrested, but I want you as a side project.
Uh-huh. Here we go.
I want you to make Metropolitan with 12-year-old kids. Just a bunch of 12, shot for shot.
I need a lot of little tuxedos.
12 to Politan? We got to come up with like a punny name.
I'm already laughing. I'm already. Oh, yeah, I should go younger. Eight-year-olds. Eight-year-olds would be fucking hilarious.
Okay.
I'd watch that. Just a bunch of like little 8-year-olds like pontificating about society.
Yeah.
Like, totally. Mm-hmm. Then they go Barcelona, right? Like 8 Salona. Then the 8 Last Days of Disco. We do that one too. Just a bunch of little kids doing cocaine.
Yeah, that one.
Clubs.
That would be the toughest one, I think.
This boat, I was getting freaked out of this boat scene because this vessel is clearly overloaded. You got like the three of them, all the fucking snack food. And then we're like,
hey, lady, you got a fat whale on your boat.
Exactly. Then we ride up to like the shore. Rascals. They pick up these these three babes, these three little fucking middle school babes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, that boat is sinking into the lake.
I've never seen where to begin with.
Maybe that's the goal.
No, oh, just you need diet, to lose see? A couple hundred pounds, blimp.
Man, when this mom, by the way, I think we glossed over it a little bit here. So he's like, by the way, they have this, it's this boy's life fight scene.
Well, that's right, because Bruce Altman's like, and by the way, like, she's like, you know, you're getting too involved in this kid's life. He's like, too involved? I am this kid. We're moving to New York. Well, you're going to see a lot of me.
He fights with the kid first.
That's how he grabs his arm.
He's my client.
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah, he's my client. And he tells this kid, too, he's like, your father is just some guy who left.
Well, there's I think his father might be Darth Vader. It's not out of the.
You're right, because she's all like, and you will be a pitcher like your father before you.
I was waiting for Daniel Stern to be the father.
Yeah.
Oh, you.
That would be amazing. But we do learn, I guess, is it in the World Series that he finds out? Or they don't go to the World Series. They're doing the
division. Yeah, right.
Division. Yeah, no, it's just the National.
He pulls league. Off the glove name tag or whatever, and yes. It was his mother's name.
The mother was
she
the pitcher,
was
the, whole
pitcher
time.
The whole time.
Yeah. So
your dad was some drunk.
No, I think it's like an Immaculate Conception. I think the baseball impregnated her.
Oh, he's got so many baseball Aclorians.
Exactly, and that's why he's such a natural pitcher, because he went through a. Because he's now more machine than man. By the way, these tendons.
Liam Neeson's a talent scout, by the way.
That's Liam Neeson is Bruce Altman or something.
Well, you'll come with me to New York to learn the ways of baseball.
We're going to be living a sick fucking life in New York City.
New York City is the Coruscant of,
yes.
of America.
And so your mother will remain a slave here in Illinois.
So anyway, those kids should have drowned.
But they get out. Sorry. So then at this point, fucking Busey is coming on this. Taking that again.
No, leave it.
All right. Well, that's all right. I'll leave it. Busey is coming for this lady. He's hitting
hardcore.
On this lady for
lot.
Like, I want to be. Because he likes the kid, but when he sees the mom, he's like, oh, hey, that kid's my new best friend.
Hey best your kid's pretty cool.
I would, I'd like to take your mother out for a nice hamburger meal. What kind of hamburger would she like?
Does she like Salisbury steak? Because I know an airline that makes it real good.
Would you like me to autograph some baseballs for your friends, too?
Okay, you can have a hamburger on a bun, or you can have a hamburger helper, all right?
Listen, I know a restaurant, it's a good restaurant, where you can get hamburgers, and they got steak sauce out already. You ever have put a steak sauce on a hamburger? Blow your fucking mind, Jack.
It's called United Airlines Flight 135 out of Newark.
There are two awesome scenes where Gary Busey is like kind of courting this lady a little bit. One of which is this fucking dance club scene, which is my favorite scene in the movie.
Oh, yes!
So, like, the Cubs, like, make it. I guess they're celebrating, like, making it into the division playoffs kind of a deal. So, Two Turtle Doves throws this, like, huge club party for everybody.
I'm getting everybody cocaine!
This dude is dancing with some young lady. You see this part? You see this part?
What's that?
This fucking old dude is just dancing with this young lady.
Oh,
and
of course.
He's like, oh, she's going down. Yeah. And I was like, fantastic.
She's going down? Oh.
Exactly.
Wow.
He's like, I can't bend over that far.
My
like,
refrigerator's running.
Oh, my God.
But there's a part in this scene where Gary Busey starts dancing with the mom, like all slow dancing and whatnot. Yeah. And you get these amazing shots of Bruce Glover or Bruce Altman. I wish
that's
Bruce
my
Glover.
Lady.
Get your damn hands off.
No,
maybe, Bruce Altman.
At least gonna give me like 25 cents.
Bruce Altman in a loud shirt is sitting at the bar talking to Dana Dea, but he's like scowling at this woman. This pout face that this guy has is amazing.
Yes, because he's pissed. And that's one of the things that causes him to grab the arm.
Well, he's like, I'm sick and tired of hearing about Chet Stedman.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Oh, but she knocks this dude, by the way. She knocks him out.
Punches him right out the door.
There's this huge stairway. It's like the end of The Exorcist, this fucking scene.
Like, oh, that's where Father Karras died also.
some weepy priest comes up. Oh, no, Bruce Altman, no.
Well, because it was Daniel Stern, it made me think of when Joan Cusack knocks him out in My Blue Heaven.
Oh, right.
And
oh,
he takes a tumble right down the stairs, too.
There's also a thing, the stipulation in with Bruce Altman in this whole thing, he's like, all right, I'll get this stupid lady to sign this contract to sell her child to the New York Yankees, but you have to do something for me. You have to fucking get rid of Gary Busey because I'm sick and tired of Gary Busey trying to fuck my... I guess she's technically my girlfriend. We've only been going out for like 7 weeks now.
But also, Bruce Altman, before you start grabbing kids, the move is go to the mom and be like, hey, look, I've got a great deal with the Yankees here. It's $25 million.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand why he keeps it secret. It makes no sense.
I would move to another city for $25 million.
Exactly. And also, like, you put in some protections there so when his arm eventually, you know, heals, he still gets that cash and they cut him. That's fine.
Yeah,
exactly.
Then you just move back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nobody acknowledges that this whole thing is magic, by the way.
No, I actually thought, I guarantee you this is a cut of this movie or a cut of this screenplay wherein he wakes up at the end and it was all a dream.
Yeah. What, you think so?
Yeah, it just feels very fantastical.
I kind of felt like you were going to get one of those scenes like when Homer joins Lollapalooza and he like it's starting to hurt again.
He
has to like go to the doctor and he's like, if you keep doing this, you're going to fucking die, kid. Okay.
Here's what I want to have happen. Now, they go to the division game.
Yes.
And he's, you know, they're playing the Mets again, the barbarian horde that is the Mets in this movie. And his arm does go out and he starts throwing badly, but instead of just it petering out, I want to see it like those tendons like explode out of him.
Oh, right.
Like blood and guts coming out of his arm.
Guts?
Maybe not guts, but like blood, pus. Yeah. You see a little bone.
Oh, sure.
And then it's like this horror.
He looks like Sid Vicious when he jumps off the top rope and lands on his leg and his fucking bone pops out.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. That would all be great.
Exactly. Sick YouTube video. Found that on E-Bombs World, I did. But yeah, like, because there's also a scene, speaking of the fantasy, there's a weird Wizard of Oz scene when he first comes in like... It's the guy, he comes out, he's like, no one can come into the clubhouse, no way, no how. And then he's like, it's like that thing. So I kind of expected him to wake up, maybe he wakes up in the hospital and he's like, wow.
Oh, wow. That would be something.
Is that how the movie ends, Wizard of Oz? She wakes up in
the hospital?
Hospital,
yes. And she lost the baby.
There was a twister.
So this whole thing comes to a head when Two Turtle Doves is informed of the Yankees move, and he's like, what Yankees move? I never approved a Yankees move. Must have been my no good nephew. And he like demotes Dan Hedaya to like hot dog salesman.
Uh-huh.
Gary Busey, this is like the final game of the division playoffs. Gary Busey,
Daniel Stern gets locked in the equipment locker.
Right, which is a callback to earlier in the film where he gets locked between the two doors in a joining hotel rooms. That dude would be dead.
He's having fun in the physical comedy department.
My favorite moment of Daniel Stern in this movie is, I think it's at that nightclub scene where he's like, oh, I'm going to take Henry. We're going to go, oh, look at this. Let's go have some fun.
Oh, legitimate laugh coming up here.
Right. Yeah. And it's these two girls and he's just like, excuse me, ladies. Excuse me, ladies. And they just go play pinball.
Yeah. It was a legit laugh. I was like, all right, this is good. He does get locked, and like Gary Busey's got, I got nothing left. And they're like, all right, we'll give you one more game. And he pitches a really good game, and he tears his arm out of his socket.
This is where they fucked.
Okay.
Yeah. Gary Busey and this woman and his mother, they fucked.
Oh, is that right?
I will not believe otherwise because of her reaction his good game.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like, because there's only two possibilities. Either I'm absolutely correct, or they just told Amy Morton to do a bunch of reactions to general stuff that was happening. They just cut it to whoever was on the field at the time.
Yeah.
Because she reacts to one, she's like, he does one good pitch, and she's like, yes, baby, yes, baby, yeah, yeah. Baby, baby. And I'm like, holy fucking shit.
I'll tell you what, should I pitch a no-hitter in the bedroom?
Oh, that's a perfect game.
She didn't get a chance. I just went for it.
Oh, we had an adult evening. We went to an Eagles concert. Well, it was an Eagles cover band, but they were pretty good.
Did it change up? That means I took off the condom.
Oh, my God. That's fucking filthy.
Oh, you don't want to know what a screwball is.
Yes. In the bedroom, it's not illegal to rub a little grease on your balls. Baseball, they frown upon.
No, but I my assumption is they've been fucking for a while.
Yeah,
by the time this last game's coming
around.
Oh,
dude, Bruce Altman got cucked by Gary Busey, is what
of
you're
course,
saying?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I will not be cucked by Gary Busey!
Well, you have.
Too late, slick.
I've been cucked by half man, half horse.
You ain't kidding, brother.
You want to see which half is which?
They call me the centaur.
My favorite filmmaking moment happens in this final game.
Sure.
When Gary Busey is pitching right here. When his arm goes out and he grabs it like in pain, there is a total electric guitar like...
I thought I was watching Batman vs. Superman. I thought Wonder Woman was going to come out.
Well,
because it's out of nowhere, this electric guitar.
No, get out of here, Wonder Woman. We'd rather have a child play before a woman.
Well, what's great is that it's not just like one time when it happens. Like then every time that he tries to use his arm, you just get like shorter. Bam! And then, then he's like trying to do like a short pass, and it's like... Bam!
Those are the... It's the shots of pain he's receiving.
Yeah,
it's pretty great.
And he gets out of the inning fine, but he's like, I got nothing left to stick a fork in me. I'm dead.
And then the
oh, by the way, piss on the Yankees and piss on the Phillies.
The skipper,
on the Indians, too.
The skipper is like, all right, that's cool. Like, I'll save you for the World Series. Oh, like, no, I am fucking done. But D-U-N.
The weird thing is this coach, who's very good apparently, is just like, well, will you at least let me finish the season before you take my job? I'm like, what are you talking about? What system is this?
That's professional sports, dude. You always have to be on the lookout for being fucking fired.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he would, you know, Gary Busey could coach, but he would coach somewhere else. He'd coach the Reds.
Maybe he'd be the pitching coach. Yeah, fucking get goddamn Daniel Stern out of there. Get a real pitching coach in.
Coach the minors like Ryan Sandberg did.
Yes.
Oh. So he re-injures this arm and it goes back to normal kind of a thing.
He rolls on he slips on a baseball
Another
again.
Baseball. Down,
and it, again, you get the Ralph Macchio stunt double, Ted Lewinsky, and he falls.
So then we have to figure out, like, he has like a huddle on the mound, and it's like, here's a plan we're going to execute to cheat at baseball.
But the weird thing is
exactly that.
The division is on the line. It's the Cubs. It's a very weighted situation. John Candy's losing his fat mind in the
absolutely. He's freaking out.
You go up to the manager and be like, hey. Why don't you put literally any other pitcher in? Because I don't have it right now.
We are shown, they got a fucking bullpen of like five guys that are just sitting there.
And it's the end of the season. You could even put a starter in now if you wanted. Like, it doesn't have to be another reliever even.
Fuck it. Hey, fuck it.
Mm-hmm. The fucking thing is on the line. But yeah, so they cheated baseball. It's the hidden ball trick.
Oh my God. To which it's John Candy like, oh my God, the hidden ball trick. Like, everybody knows of this totally illegal move.
Somewhere the Mets GM, all right, look, you know what? You brought the baby out. I didn't say anything because I thought I would beat the baby. But now you're doing the hidden ball trick on me. Can I get a fucking umpire in here?
What is it?
Can I get Bud Selig on the fucking horn or what?
It's like the Harlem Globetrotters stuff.
It is. Yeah.
It really is. It's cartoonish at best.
And so, like, as the next batter on the Mets, you have to be like, okay, hidden ball trick. Something's going on.
Right.
They intentionally walk him, and this is where we get... Is this where we get pitchers? Oh, no, this is the... He's like, he starts calling him a chicken.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm going to instigate this dude, like, fucking... You know, Woody Woodpecker.
I like. Can you imagine a professional athlete who has heard the worst language you can possibly hear?
Absolutely,
in his career,
a lot of slurs.
That's what's so chilling about this.
Oh, and then this kid just.
The weird thing, though, if you look, if you pause the frame,
oh,
and you look at the back of his jersey, it says McFly.
Oh, so
that explains
that checks out.
And that was generational too. Every McFly had that.
But it makes no fucking sense.
No, it doesn't.
The division is on the line. This guy's just gonna stay on the fucking bag.
You know, it doesn't make sense. Also, all in this entire fucking baseball stadium and all of Wrigley Field, there are two people. In the entire stadium that know that this kid doesn't have it anymore. The kid and the mom.
Sure.
Everybody else is fucking clueless. Like, we're going to all these extremes to fucking walk people and the hidden ball trick. Well, and the manager is just like, oh, kid, you're giving me a heart attack. You're giving me a heart attack. And Gary Busey's freaking out. No one
is I'm gonna rip him his belly open and eat it. I'm going to bite that kid's throat out and chew on it like it's spitting tobacco.
You're my hamburger now.
But, like, no one else in that dugout is like, hey, maybe his clearly gimmicky arm
doesn't work
anymore.
Sure.
It doesn't. And it's just like the mother way up in the fucking pissant seats is just like, oh, my God. It's gone.
Well, also, there's a young Charles Xavier who's been scouting him as a mutant.
Oh, of course.
And he's like, oh, no, he's not a mutant. He's just looks, a freak.
Looks like his gift is gone, as am I.
We're the future of baseball, Charles, not him.
So, like Eric mentioned earlier, he pulls some tape off his glove, realizes that the mother was actually the star of the mound and not the father.
But not to get too granular on this baseball. So he gets this guy out, the chicken guy. He gets him out trying to steal a base.
Yeah.
He gets the other guy out with the hidden ball trick. And now here comes Hedo. And even John Candy is like, oh, my God, it's Hedo.
Oh, my God, you better call Mrs. Rossenbagger tonight. Her son is going to be dead.
And this guy's like already talking shit to this little kid so much. He's like, you're a baby. This one's going to be for mommy. Here comes for mommy. And like he.
I love it, by the
but
way.
But also, like, you've got two outs. So walk this guy, too. Like, get this guy on base. No one's on base. It's the end of the game.
Well, this is the shock of all shocks because he was expecting that, I guess, right? Oh. And they actually get a strike off this guy.
They do, and then he gets a strike then, and then he hits what looks to be a home run, but it actually goes foul.
Foul ball.
And then like,
and then he has the realization with the mitt with the mother.
And his mother is, like, at least twice in the movie has floated, like, either keys to him or another baseball. And I was like, wow, pretty good
one. Yeah,
the
floater pitch, which we are told by Daniel Stern he has not seen since Snuffy McGee.
Oh, right.
One time she did that was...
Snuffy McGee, what is he, a murderer?
Yes. He made a lot of movies.
They talk about how good she is and everything. She did that with sunscreen, and she pitched it into the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And, like, then Henry was picked on for not getting it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, you'd pick on that kid, too. That kid sucks.
I don't know.
His mom, by the way, is really good in Up in the Air as George Clooney's sister.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. I've never seen it.
It's a good. I only saw it once. I remember really liking it, but it probably might not.
Yeah, I remember liking that one. I remember liking that one in Juno.
Same thing. I'm like, I remember liking that, but I never saw it again, and I have no memory of it.
So this fucking huge monster strikes out. With the floater pitch. They win the division. They're going to the World Series.
And he turns into, like, at the end of a Street Fighter game, he's like, no, no! And he's, like, pounding the ground.
Yeah,
like,
it's pretty funny. So, yeah, we're going to the World Series. That's the whole thing.
It'd be great if he's like, I'm going to fucking kill you, kid. No, you ruined
Hey, kid, I hope you like dodging parking lots, because that's what you're going to be doing after this fucking game, you little fucking turd.
Yeah, you got no fucking security for some reason. I'm a grown man, and I'm going to punch you.
Oh, you going out to celebrate with some deep dish, you little fucking Chicago fucker? Guess what, turd? I'm going to drown you in a pie of Pequods, fuckface.
Ultimate revenge. Once fucking Gary Busey has to go back to L.A., got a couple of fucking commercial contracts.
Sure, yeah.
He comes in, and he starts dating mom.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
I'm your new stepdad, and I weigh 300 pounds, yes. And it's all muscle.
And I love abusing children.
Now we're going to sit down and watch my favorite movie, This Boy's Life. So we have like a smash cut back to like Henry being good in Little League. He's sure. Like an outfielder once again. He makes a catch kind of a
Wouldn't
thing.
Wouldn't he be a good pitcher at that point? Like even though like you know, his arm's back to normal, but he's
shown
he's pitched in the majors
before
for a
the month. Accident. He's yeah. shown to be a decent pitcher because sure. he's in his like the basement doing yeah. some laundry, and he's throwing like the Tide packets or whatever like into the washing machine.
Sure.
So he has like the accuracy and whatnot. It's all totally there. But yeah, he's back playing fucking left field. Doesn't make any sense.
I think this manager's horseshit, to be quite honest.
The manager is Gary Busey.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm fucking your mother now. I'm mad at you, baseball game.
Yeah, I have sex with your mom and I coach your baseball team. Hey, hee-haw.
We used to be good friends, but right now, brother, I need you to clean that room. Yeah, we. Oh, yeah, I remember all the good times on the road, but that room is looking a little shabby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That Salisbury steak was a long time ago.
This math homework ain't up to snuff. You're going to have to redo it, and your penmanship better get better in the next try.
And then the biggest fucking eat shit Chicago ever in this movie is, like, he makes the big play. They win the game. Everybody huddles around Henry Rowan Gardner, and he does, like, a fist-in-the-air Green Lantern thing, and he's wearing a fucking World Series winner ring from the Cubs. Ooh, that burns!
You know what? Keep that shit up. Enjoy losing that shit in high school, because, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, that should be under lock and key somewhere.
Exactly. You don't
put World it in a Series safety deposit box.
Yes.
Totally.
And Lord knows if he made any money on this deal or if Bruce Altman's in jail or what's going on. Oh, man, Bruce Altman's under heavy litigation at the end of the
You don't even want to know.
Oh, yeah, dude, he's getting out. He's under fucking house arrest. He's got a fucking goddamn Ant-Man ankle bracelet on. Don't worry about it. And then that's like the end of the movie. Ridiculous credit here at the end. And again, I feel like we're kind of rubbing it in here.
Yes.
Special thanks, the fans of Chicago who never give up.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Jesus. Wow.
Hey, listen, little buddy. We're going to your grandmother's house. Yeah, it's my mother's house, but it's your grandmother now. Yeah, I'm your stepdad. I'm a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, I secretly live in the attic, whatever.
I'm a hider in your house now, bitch. I would say I think Gary Busey is on my list. Willem Dafoe is there too. Worst stepdads to have.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
Without a question. Tom Berenger, he's up there.
Oh, fuck, dude. Time. Yeah.
Big time. That might be number one with a bullet.
Brian Dennehy.
I might launch a website just to make this listicle because it's scary shit, man. Scary
totally stepdads. Terrifying Hollywood stepdads, dude. Don't
I'll tell you one that I would love, Ernie Hudson. We're having a great time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty great. He's
Clancy Brown.
Oh,
no.
He'd be fun, maybe.
No way.
He might be a gentle giant. You never know.
I think he might be.
I'd be terrified the whole time.
I can just tell he's.
You know, good Hollywood stepdad. I bet it would be like kind of weird, but you get used to it. John DeLancey.
I would. You know what? It'd probably be fine, but I'd hate it.
You got to go with him to all the conventions.
The schoolwork looks pretty shoddy, Siska.
Can you stop pretending you're Q for 2 seconds?
No, I won't.
So that is Rookie of the Year. Would anybody recommend this movie?
I would. It's a hair long. It's a 1:43. It really
couldn't even believe that shit.
Should be a smooth 90. But I think it's a lot of fun. It's a weird oddity. It's a very crisp and clean looking movie. I'm okay with it.
Agreed on almost all points and shit. It needs if it was like 90 minutes, it would be perfect.
Mm-hmm. I gave your mom a smooth 90.
Oh my God.
90 days and 90 nights.
And now I'll get out of there.
Sorry, Chris. What were you saying?
No, it's good.
I'm going to say the same thing. Just it's probably nostalgia.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I liked revisiting it. I liked it as a kid. It's stupid, but it's, you know, it's dumb fun.
Yeah, I would recommend it. What, even with the PTSD, because sure. like the PTSD is just from this kid being obnoxious.
Sure,
I still think he's obnoxious, but a lot of the adult characters in this movie are totally fine.
Oh, totally. And I actually like this restrained Gary Busey. I think it's I would not like bad. To see him like if I mean he went off the deep end in the 2000s kind of, but like if there's another universe where he like just played people's bosses and stuff. You know
great.
What I mean? Like,
yeah,
totally. I'd be totally fine with it. I'd also be fine, honestly, with Daniel Stern directing another feature film.
Sure.
Because this is his only one. He's directed some television, 10 episodes of The Wonder Years, 3 episodes of something called Complete Savages.
Nope.
1 episode of The Paul Reiser Show in 2011. Hey, okay.
All right.
And 2 episodes of the show that he acts on, Manhattan.
Oh, so when he directed those that Paul Reiser show episode, he just watched an episode of Curb and then just did the exact same thing?
Is that what that Paul Reiser show was?
If I remember
correctly. I have no memory of this.
That's terrible. Oh, eep. That's terrible.
I don't want to hear that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't want to hear about that at all. But this movie I would recommend, Rookie of the Year.
Oh, for sure.
And also, I think it would service kind of nicely as a hangover movie.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Because you have the memories already built in, so you're not missing anything if you pass out.
Keep the volume a little down, though. This voice gets squeaky.
It gets squeaky, and a lot of the Daniel Stern screaming when he's stuck in that equipment cage.
Might get a small headache, a light headache.
That is Rookie of the Year from 1993, directed by Daniel Stern. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out WHM Podcast or find us over on the HeadGum Network. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Be sure to sign up to get all sorts of things like Animation Damnation, The Nexus, commentaries. Soon enough, we have the commentary for the new Twilight Eclipse. Clips commentary where we get really drunk watching that movie. So
I'm excited.
You want to sign up and get make sure you have your access ready for that to drop at the end of this month. Twitter, we are at WHM Podcast, Facebook.com/WeHateMovies. And Steve Sadak, next week, I think we are hitting a real milestone here in We Hate Movies history. This is a big one. What are we talking about?
It's the season finale. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. It's Armageddon.
Holy shit.
Finally.
Yeah.
What a way to end the season, talking about one of the biggest blockbuster farts of all time.
I might start watching this movie when I leave tonight, because I might not be done by the time we get back.
It is 7.5 hours.
Yes.
Yeah. And 4 hours of that is Steven Tyler. Just singing a song.
So until next week, when you won't want to miss a thing, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.